All right. Welcome to another edition of Shabbat Lounge. This is Matt.
And Jake here.
I almost forgot my name for
a second. I thought you were going to ask me what your name was.
Yes, what is my name?
It's like, why isn't Jake saying Matt here?
Yep. Well, we appreciate you stopping by, and we are starting a new series called Torah Apologetics.
Yes, and as you can see, how do you tell someone what we do?
And
we appear to have double video happening. That was my fault.
Yeah. We have started this new series, and we've asked for some input, which you may have seen in a previous video. And eventually we will work you into our podcast. We've asked some people to leave us voicemail and leave us written descriptions. And so we want to find out, what are your stories? How do we help others as we, you know, because a lot of us come from Christian traditions where you knocked on doors maybe and you handed out flyers and tracts. That was like, how old am I? I'm just like 1950, but people used to do that.
I think people still do that. People still do the tracts.
I think they still do.
Yeah.
And we've been kind of, I always was against that kind of thing until I got into sales, and lo and behold, sales and companies still do that today.
It's almost like it works.
Yeah, it does. And so, you know, I always thought, well, that's stupid. Nobody wants to do that.
But I know, because I'm running around going, I don't want people coming up and handing me stuff. Mm-hmm. But oddly, there's people that want that.
yes, and people that we'll talk to. So anyway, you know, we've kicked the tires on this movement is still fairly young, and the remnant is waking up. And as we wake up and as we mature and as we grow, we need to start figuring out, how do we tell others about what we do without just completely scaring them and making them run away and like we have the plague?
Yes.
And so you and I, Jake and I, we've definitely, and you and the audience may have experienced these things before, where people run away like you have some terrible disease or you smell real bad. But sometimes I do smell.
No comment. It's those natural deodorants, man.
Yes, they're very natural.
Yes.
But we do ask for you to continue to give us some input. It could be written or it could be voice. And so let's go right into it. So where do you start when you talk about Torah apologetics? So what did we say here, Jake? What do you think?
So typically you might – so what I find happens is – someone goes, hey, this guy started acting a little funny. He's got these new mannerisms and new things that he has to take off work for. And look at those funny things on his pants. And, oh, he's starting to grow his beard out and things like that.
He doesn't eat pork anymore.
Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
Mainly that one. And then they'll say, what, are you trying to be Jewish? Yeah. Or are you trying to be Jewish? Or, hey, that's Jewish. Some form of the Jewishness.
Or people will generally ask you, what do you do? I don't understand. What are you trying to do? And people are trying to, in their brain, put you in a category.
Right.
And you may have said before, I'm kind of Messianic Jewish, or I'm kind of like a Jew. So that brings us to, what does this mean, Jake? And so the question is, what do we ask them?
We ask them, well, what is a Jew? Because the most important thing when you're having a discussion with someone is to define your terms. Because if you're not talking about the same thing, you don't know what you're talking about.
And I have definitely made that mistake
early. And you're talking circles around each other.
Yep. And so, you know, I think you've got to ask them to define it. And then I also think you have to be patient, let them talk, make them think. Put it on them. Don't just fill the space with your words like we're doing now.
Yes.
But ask them to stop and think and give an answer and be willing to walk away from that conversation if they don't have
Without an answer.
And let them think about it. Let them stew on it. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we often want to just hammer instead of realizing, maybe I should just shut up
and
listen.
I think what happens is you start seeing some of this stuff, and then you study, and you have a whole list of things that you've been studying, and then you get in front of someone, and then you're like, oh, I got to tell them all about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And
well, you're excited.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not necessarily helpful. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily move the needle forward. But and one of the hardest things is to ask someone a question and then not give them the answer. It's wait for them to give you the answer.
Mm-hmm. And I think maybe if they ask you, are you like a Jew or something? You say, I'm glad you asked. That's a great question. Yeah. You know, I think you tackle it. You shouldn't be afraid of these things and take them on head on. And so I think in sales, that's what we learn is you go find these objections because you already know what some of these objections are going to be and just take them on head on and start having an answer because you know that these objections are coming.
And that's one of the things that actually, you know, brought me to Torah to have a good foundation was seeking out the objections to what, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
just in general to the Bible. And I had always been interested in doing that mm-hmm. to try to have an answer that if someone came to me.
Yeah. And so part of this question, is this a bloodline lineage or a mixed multitude? That's kind of what you're trying to get from them. And you might be surprised. People don't always have a good answer and maybe have never thought about it. And so that's why you have to wait and listen because they may not even have thought about it much. And so that's why I put big here, listen, because we got to find out where they are, just like Yahuwah finds out where we are. And he doesn't, you know, he accepts us where we are.
Right. And right, you see Yeshua doing it, you see Paul doing it, and when they're reaching out to others, they meet them where they are and then carry on from there. It start with something people are familiar with.
Yep. And then I think you can take them, walk them through Genesis when the time comes. And so this is a good place to start. If you want to know where the Jews are, you got to know about Israel, and it starts here in Genesis 28. And
32:28,
yes. And he says, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with Elohim and with men and hast prevailed. So this concept of Israel is important too.
Right. Yeah. You can't know accurately what a Jew is if you don't know what Israel is, because mm-hmm. Israel preempts
yes.
the Jews.
Yep. So, and so I suggest you go check that out. And so what is a Jew? Technically, it's descendants here, the 12 tribes. You can read it for yourself. Pause it, this video at any point if you want to. But clearly, we're focused on four, Judah, the Jews. This is right. who they really were. And so...
Yeah, because people tend to lump in all the rest of the tribes as the Jews. Because today, what we know is the tribe of Judah. That's mm-hmm. the Jews that we know.
Yeah. So the Jews were just one of the 12 that came out of Egypt. But why is that important, Jake?
Well, because we need to know what it is Yahweh wants from us. And we know that by his instructions to the Israelites. Not just the Jews, right? It's mm-hmm. to all of them, to mm-hmm. his people.
Yeah, yeah. Not just that one particular group. And so you see in Exodus, in Exodus 24, so you see this thing that where it says all that Yahweh has said we will do and be obedient. So this is people saying this back to him in this covenant. And
right.
And Deuteronomy 8:20.
Yeah. So this is so shall you perish because you would not be obedient unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim.
And
so
Romans,
this is why it's important to know what Yahweh wants from us, because here he's. They're agreeing to do something, and here they've failed to do it and see punishment from it.
Yep.
And then here in Romans, it says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So are you going to be obedient to Yahweh, or are you going to be obedient to the flesh that leads you to death?
The blessings and curses.
Yeah.
And so see our teaching about that as well. So we go into that. And some of these we're going to kind of fly through. And that's why we said you might want to pause the video and look at these in greater detail. And you may have to study this a little bit further if you haven't. So Romans 9:3-6 says.
All right. So for I could wish that myself were accursed from Messiah for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of Elohim and the promises. Not, and then skip to verse 6 just because it fit on the slide. You can read it all in context if you want. Not as though the world of Elohim has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And that ties into the second question we asked, is it's not about the bloodline. Because there are people of Israel that are not included in this lineage of Israel.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people just have never heard about this or never thought about it. And so it continues in Romans 10, 11.
Right. So for the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek or Gentile, those of the nations, for the same master over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. So it's not about your lineage. It's about who's going to call on the name of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what makes us the chosen people.
Right.
So in Exodus, so I think we need to kind of just share some of these scriptures and you need to go read them. Exodus 12:49, one law shall be to him who's homeborn, and then to the stranger that sojourns among you.
Right. And you'll see this come back later about, this idea of a mixed multitude and things like that.
It talks in Romans 11 about being grafted in. We kind of read that. Ephesians 2 about being brought near the commonwealth of Israel. And so you're going to have to pause it. Go look at these scriptures. We don't want to bore you to tears and go through that. Go look at it. So you've got these concepts of Jew, Israelite, mixed multitude, Gentile, grafted, house of Israel, house of Judah. And so these are some terms you're going to have to, have
understand
a definition.
Yeah.
Because people are going to bring these up and these are going to be questions and things that you have to be prepared for.
And I know early on, this house of Israel, house of Judah thing was very new to me. I had not heard any of that in church growing up.
No.
So knowing these terms and being able to explain them is good. And in my experience, these aren't things that they're going to bring to you. You're going to have to ask them to define what these are to them so that you're on the same page.
Yeah. 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 Vocabulary is important. Vocabulary matters.
Words mean things.
That's right. We've heard that. Exodus 12:37 says the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. That's a whole nother study. Yeah. About 600,000 on foot that were men beside the children. And a mixed multitude. This is something that I had not seen before until I started going down this journey. You have to go, well, what's a mixed multitude, Jake? What does that mean?
It sounds like there's a bunch of them mixed up.
And when it comes to this word, which is
Ereb.
I was going to be herb.
Herb. So, I like herb.
Yeah. So it means mixed multitude.
A mixture of people. Yeah.
And so it doesn't mean just one family, does it?
No.
So I don't think that anybody, if you describe your family as a mixed, a mixed multitude, I don't know. We don't generally talk like that, but it definitely would imply that it's more than just your group. It's other people. It's other tribes. It's other nations. It's other stuff.
Yeah. And the point in that scripture is that not just Israel came out. It was Egyptians, people. And I'm sure there were people living in Egypt that came from all kinds of places.
And so it says, continued, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes with dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt. And it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and they were in a hurry, basically.
Yeah.
So, if you don't know that story, you need to go learn it. It's kind of important.
Yeah.
So life in Egypt was good. They had the most modern housing, the best food, the best medicine in the known world. They're at the zenith of power. They're safe. Egypt was isolated. It's a long ways. You've got a coast. You've got a desert. You have this one river. And so it was easy to defend this place. And they still to this day, not a lot of things happen in Egypt. And it's for some of these same reasons. It's an easy place to defend. So, but we don't know much about what the Egyptian Hebrews were really like. It doesn't, we just don't have a tremendous amount of details, but we get some glimpses of the character. And so this mixed multitude, I think it also refers to as a group of people that had mixed the holy with the profane, that some of these guys were of the lineage and of the family. connected to Abraham, and they knew some things and practiced some things, but they had probably also lost their identity in a lot of ways and were bordering on becoming more like Egyptians than Jewish people, if you would say Jewish.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that happened. They lost their identity. That's important. Yeah, what is your identity? I mean, that's important to know, because if someone comes to you and says, what, are you a Jew? Do you know, are you a Jew? I mean, you need to know your identity. So the Egyptian Hebrews you're talking about is, you know, when they, we don't really get an idea of what they were like, because once they cross over and become Hebrews, they're just part of the nation of Israel at that point. Mm-hmm. They're Israelites now.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't separate them once they've, you know, gone into, once they've left, once they've exodized, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely think this concept of the mixed multitude, it's pretty fascinating. And it really helped open my brain to this path that we go down.
Yeah. Today. You could say they were grafted in.
So they're living in this superpower, you know, they got technology. They were forefronters to the forerunners to Babylonians and the Romans. And so this royalty idea comes from them, this divine right of kings, definitely you see in Egypt, and this idea of the royalty being passed down in bloodline was important to them there. But, and then you've got the plagues. And so they were just as much for the Hebrews as the Egyptians. So they had to be reminded about who they were. Maybe they've gotten content in their nice little house. We know they did get content, because later they complain about it.
Yeah, later they're wishing they were back there.
And they wish they had their leeks and cucumbers.
Yeah.
So, the thing that when you were talking, you see this theme in Scripture of Yah's people becoming holy and set apart, and then they become mixed, and they mix the holy with the profane, and he has to call them, he has to draw them out again, like he did with Abraham, like he does with Moses, literally draws him out of the water.
Like Noah.
And just story after story after story of assimilation occurs, and then he has to pull them back out and train them to be holy and set apart, only for them to forget multiple generations later and do it all over again.
Right.
So it is very cyclical, but
and that's important. Once you get into reading about the kings and stuff like that, you'll see this cycle of obedience, then disobedience, and obedience and disobedience, and it's all the thing that always brings them back to obedience is recalling Yahweh's word,
the promise.
Yeah.
So, but he makes it clear his ways are not their ways, and the ways of the world, it's different. So I also think
we didn't talk about this slide actually.
No. So what are you going to say? The plagues?
Yeah, they didn't like their newfound slavery.
Well, what I was saying here is, you know, I was going to end it here, that his ways are not the ways of the world.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
I was going to say there. So, but I do think this is a possibility. Now, this is speculation on Sabbath Lounge part, but I do think in this story, it is quite possible that these Egyptians during the plagues start looking over at the Hebrews going, what are y'all doing over there?
Hey, especially, nothing's happening to them over there.
Yes, yes. Especially as it goes on and some of these things don't even happen to them. And they're like, noted, huh? They've seen all these other things. They've seen the power of Yahuwah do all these things. And they're like, that guy does some stuff. I like that guy, you know, and they start taking notes, and then they see him sacrifice a lamb. Okay. You're putting blood up. Why are you doing that? Oh, because my child is going to die. I believe you. Okay. And what can I do that? I don't know. I guess you can, you know, I mean, I think that's real. Yeah. You know, real life conversation that possibly could have happened when they get saved, because they probably saw the example of the Hebrews, which fits a priest example, which was a form of evangelism back then.
Right. Even.
So don't know. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if you ever thought about that. And that means we've gone 20 minutes.
Oh, man. We better wrap it up.
So he shows them that that he is in charge. And so I think with this, we have 10 more slides, I think. Just remember, pause the video at any point and go back and read what we're trying to say. We're also going to make the PowerPoint, the slide, available. So, right. But it's a mixed multitude with baggage.
Yeah.
And so there is this theme of crossing over and purging the things that need to be out here. So once again, Jake, is it about the bloodline?
I don't think it's about the bloodline, Matt.
It's not about this. So it's one tribe of people.
Right.
You know, replacement theology is something. If you don't know what that is, you know, we're not going to talk about it here, but you should go find out. What does that mean? Replacement theology, the church. So we are becoming his holy set apart people. So, and then there's a fascinating study is how did you say that again?
Yehudis.
And so there's a fascinating study with this. That's the Hebrew word. It is in the text. We found it. What was the book?
It's in Esther a lot. That's kind of where it starts.
Yep. So, and you can look up Strong's H3063, and you're going to find some references on where you can find it. But it became Jewy or Jew, and that's kind of where this connection comes from. And so we found a great PDF that you can click on that comes to, there's a connection to Gulliver's Travel and Yahoo. And you know that connection there.
Yeah.
So I suggest you click on that, and you can see a lot of information about it.
Right.
So, so I don't think we have time to click on it, do we?
Probably not.
So
it'll be in the description.
So many people have heard the argument being saved by grace, but it was their obedience. It's Yahuwah's grace and provision that saved them.
Right.
He is salvation. Yeshua is salvation. He's the mighty right hand that leads them out of Egypt.
Right.
Go, and the name, go check that out.
Yeah, the name meaning salvation, right? That's why his name's Yeshua. The word Jesus doesn't really mean anything. But Yeshua does.
Yep. So he's looking for a people that are willing to leave their old ways behind. And it goes back to Jacob and Esau. He wants us to be like Jacob, not Esau. So he's calling us out of Egypt, out of Babylon. You know, the divine right of kings is still, you know, at play. We have the obelisk at Washington, D.C., the womb of Isis. There's Isis?
Isis.
Isis. And so you see that still right here in the good old USA.
Yeah. Go patriotism.
Yes. So we are a mixed multitude. And he wants us to cross over. And so, Jake, I think
there's one way, right?
Coming to the end of this. Is there anything else you want to say before we run out of time? We were trying to keep this to 25 minutes, and we're going to make it.
Yeah. there will be another part to this so we can finish up. There's some more things that we had to talk about on it. But so tune in for the next part as well.
Yes. So, and he is calling us to be a holy set apart nation. And so if you're watching this, most likely you have woken up to the fact that you're part of this remnant. Welcome. Join the team.
Yes. Be part of the team.
And we are seeking your input on, and we have some things in a previous post where we have a thing you can leave your comment. We'd like to incorporate some of your stories in here. We'd like to find out how have you tried, maybe some success stories, what has worked for you when you talk about other people. When you talk about other people, what am I trying to say?
With other people.
Yes. About what we're doing and what you're doing. And you may have some things that didn't work and say, hey, don't do this.
Yeah.
Like, don't cut mommy. Don't say that.
don't say that.
So,
man.
Yes.
So it looks like, did we get through all the slides?
We did.
Okay.
We kind of flew through them.
No part two. I lied.
Yep. So there will be, we kind of flew through it. We may go back and spend some more time on these, but we're going to do some more studies and more topics.
Yeah, we're going to try to keep it short so it's something that you can digest.
Yep. And so anyway, we thank you for taking a minute to look at Torah apologetics. And that was our 25 minutes. High five to that.
We did it.
All right. Stay tuned for more. Bye.
See ya.